With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Five Times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, how's pre-season Olympiakos, mate?
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I still play.
Just to quickly skip
what
over.
What do you think anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given your opinion, what do you think?
I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you
can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast. Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end-of-season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Diddy Heman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead-up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy goals you've got there.
I'll set them up.
Bang.
Podcast is a little bit different this week. It's not in the Hilton or in Gusto in Heswell. Thank you. This is live from Melwood. This is where the operation comes together before a game. I've got a sore throat, as you can tell from my voice, because of all the shouting that the telly was doing yesterday against West Ham. But the two players I've got with me today is the fantastic Irish legend, Ronnie Whelan, who scored that memorable goal with his shin against Russia. And I've got another legend who is with me, and it's the man himself, Jan Mulvey. How are you, lads?
Great, can't complain at all.
Your voice seems okay.
My voice is good. No, I'm getting fit. I'm out walking, I'm out running. I'd shouted a little bit at the telly, but then went for a walk after it, trying to get myself fit.
So you're getting yourself fit, Ronnie, obviously, because there's two fantastic opportunities for you to play at Anfield. And the first one being May the 16th, where the Liverpool legends will play against the fans. The fans can go on fivetimes.co. And they can auction for the positions on the pitch. They are going quickly and they're getting quite steep now, which is all great because the money all goes to charity. So get yourself on that website and have a look at that. It gives a fantastic opportunity to play against a full Legends team, and you can play at Anfield May the 16th. But I think the most important game you're getting yourself fit for, Ron, is the Hillsborough game.
Yes.
You're looking forward to that?
Very much so.
Why?
Because it's the Hillsborough game, isn't it? All the lads getting back together after 25 years. Everybody knows what Hillsborough stands for now.
Of course.
And how things have moved on in the last 6 or 7 months. Hopefully it will draw a good crowd, because there's going to be lots and lots of famous players there.
Well, there's 35,000 tickets sold at the minute. So if you want them tickets, you can go on 5times.co. Have a look at your way of buying them. I think the club... as well, you can contact the club, and there's stuff on their website to see how you can get tickets. Jan, are you getting yourself fit for that game? You look in trim.
I wouldn't say I was getting myself fit.
Down to 17 stone now,
I can see.
You've been doing a bit.
I wouldn't say I was getting myself fit, but like Ronnie, I'm excited about the game.
Yeah.
I think the 8 days, starting with the Manchester City game on the 13th, leading up to the 21st, is going to be some of the most emotional 8 days in the club's history, because in between, there's also the memorial service at Anfield on the 15th of April. And I think the game at Anfield is a combination of playing again, isn't it, in front of a big crowd, and of course being part of what is it's a celebration.
Yeah.
But also pay your respects, isn't it?
I think it's important as well, Jan. I've put one of these games together myself, the Tsunami game. It's interesting to see how is it coming together from behind the scenes, because everyone just sees the finished article really good, and they're not easy to put together. How are you getting on with the players, the European players?
I have to say that the players have been amazing. What amazes me about players who play for Liverpool say in the last 15, 18 years, who had no real connection to Hillsborough, you know.
Yeah.
But they understand. And it's been well received by all the former players we've asked. Obviously, there is some players unavailable due to the roles that they have now and back in their countries and whatever. But you won't be able to, on the day, to say, why is he not here, why is he not here? Because most people are going to be here. Most of the big names that you could think of will be here.
A lot of players flying in.
A lot of players flying in.
You would also have to wonder if any ex-player said no. I don't want to play in this game.
And to be fair, that hasn't been the case.
Yeah. They might not be able, as you said, to get there.
We even have some players who are currently playing in other countries who want to come on the day. They might not be able to play, which you fully understand, but they want to be here. So, no, it's going to be great.
Ticket prices,
£10,
ticket
prices is 15 and 5.
And 15 and 5.
I think that's, they've got that about right, the club.
Yeah.
It will enable them to raise, I don't know whether it's much needed funds or not, but it'll be able to raise money for charity for Hillsborough. But it'll just be a fantastic thing.
Okay, well, we'll move on. Like I said, we're live here at Melwood. Do you want to tell us why?
Well, it's obviously another push for the game. You know, one or two of the players are going to be here, a little bit of a training session, a few interviews, just making people aware, because I guess there's still people out there who's not aware that the game's on, and we want it to be a full house. We're confident we're going to achieve that. 10,000 tickets left, so if you want any, now's the time.
Melwood's changed, hasn't it?
Unbelievable, isn't it? From the day I first walked in here in 79, which was, the gate was over the other
side. That's gone, hasn't it? The changing rooms have gone.
The changing rooms have gone, but now you've got pitches everywhere, stadium everywhere, beautiful kitchens, beautiful offices.
I assume the food is nice as well, yeah. But yeah, it is something else, isn't it?
I tell you what, though.
This is obviously the brainchild of Gerard Houllier, you know.
Do you know?
He was the man behind all that.
Brilliant. You know, one thing that I do feel, though, I know it's changed coming back, but the one thing I do feel is the warmth that you still get when you come through the doors, like from the, you know, from the girl on the desk reception, even the chef.
Did she know who you were?
She didn't actually have to sign in, no, and then get me a picture on the phone, and my passport details and that.
Doesn't she have Sky, as you always say?
She hasn't got Sky either, yeah.
It's a Tanta. Maybe it's a Tanta.
But yeah, you still feel that warmth, don't you, from the place? Even the lady who makes the tea, who brings it in right
lady
now.
Yeah,
you wouldn't get it anywhere else. You wouldn't get it. Fluff biscuits as well. You wouldn't get that at Arsenal.
Wouldn't
you? No, you wouldn't.
There's
that warmth is still here, and
I think that's one of the first things I learned about Liverpool Football Club, not just from players, but from the staff, from the, like you're talking about, the dinner lady, the tea lady, everybody seemed to be a family. They got on with each other, and I think that's why all the players are coming back to play this game also, because they've got they felt great warmth in this football club, and they want to come back and do it a little bit. But this Liverpool for me has always been this way throughout the years since I come here in 79.
Yeah, that's sad.
But to be fair, it's strange that all three of us are still living in Liverpool, is you considering that you two are Irish and I'm Danish, you know?
Well, I mean, you can go. I mean,
you are Irish, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Aren't I wrong?
Yeah, was your uncle a boxer?
Yeah. I spoke to Tony Cascarino, you know, the other day. Talking of
he was Irish. He was really Irish.
I know.
Was it his right auntie or his wrong auntie?
His wrong auntie. Where there's a will, there is a way. West Ham yesterday, I mean, I had it down as a really tricky game, and it actually panned out that way, really, didn't it? Was that down to West Ham safe?
Why wouldn't an away game in the Premier League be tricky?
But, well, I'm just
West Ham did what they had to do. They made it difficult for Liverpool.
My point being, you look at Liverpool's fixes, and everyone's going on about the City game and the Chelsea game being the two big ones. But I mean, Norwich fighting for the lives, Palace fighting for the lives.
Do you think there'll be any different?
No, I don't. But no, I see West Brom as being tricky, isn't it?
West
Ham, and it panned out that way, didn't it?
But I think everybody gets worried about the Crystal Palace and the West Ham game, them sort of games, because if we do get beat by Chelsea and Man City, it'll be, oh, what a shame, we were so close, and if we had to just beat them. But if we lose against West Ham or drop 2 points against West Ham, everybody's going to say we threw it away, because they're the games we should be winning. I thought they played.
Did they show another side? Yeah, did
they
show another side of what Liverpool have got?
I think they pulled that out from the Fulham game with Stevie Gerrard's penalty the last couple of minutes. They were looking gone at that stage, but now they've pulled the sleeves up and they've dug in deep to get a couple of results away from home.
Well, certainly one person who had a bad day at the office yesterday was the referee.
The referee, yeah.
Yeah, what was your take? Did you think?
I know a lot of people are saying, but I still believe that all the officials are honest, you know. They're human beings and they make mistakes. I was at the Manchester City game on Saturday. Another horrendous refereeing performance, you know. And again, the same yesterday. They're getting big decisions wrong. You know, the equaliser and also the winning penalty. But what I liked about yesterday's game was that the first half was really even, wasn't it? Credit to West Ham. Gave us a good game. Second half, we made the substitution. Lucas came on. We then totally dominated the game, which gave us 45 minutes of totally dominating to try and win the game. And that should be good enough. If you can dominate a game as much as you do, and we did yesterday for 45 minutes, or on Sunday, sorry, then you should be able to win the game, and we did that.
Well, right on cue. I'm talking about penalties, and as we're going to get today, being at Melwood, you're going to get people walking in and out. A man who was... what's going on with that moustache? Mr. Alan Kennedy. November's over.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Talking of penalties, the man who's scored two fantastic penalties in his career.
One was a cross shot.
And you know what? What I'm really disappointed with, okay?
Yeah.
When we played in South Africa.
You're fined, by the way, for being late.
Did you play in South Africa? That was nice.
Oh, sorry. We're not invited.
No,
I didn't know. Okay.
He was on a cruise,
but the point was, I was overlooked.
For the penalties?
For the penalties. And I was so disappointed. My record, look at the record.
1-1.
Yeah. So
and John Aldridge missing yet another one.
Yeah, another one. Yeah,
cost us as well, didn't it?
That's right.
But anyway, how are you?
What do you think? I'm full of cold, but I'm fine. I'm good.
You were okay on Thursday at the races.
Oh, thanks, Ronnie. What do you mean? I was all right. I could stand up. Yeah. It was great. I'm fine. I'm good. Played yesterday. So
you played football?
I played football
after
yesterday.
The game. Charity game yesterday.
Charity game, yeah. For the Hillsborough Family Support Group.
Well, did you see the game at all then, Liverpool?
We saw little bits of it. We were playing obviously until about 4:30, 5:00, and then we had a quick run
through the game, Alan, the charity game?
Yeah, the charity game. It was fantastic. We won 5-1, which was credit to Phil.
Did you score?
No. Phil Neal, who played all the game as well, myself, Clayton Blackmore, remember him, and we had John Walker at the back. Okay, so the total age was 238.
So you divide that by 11 now?
No, there was only four of them.
Four of them.
All right, divide that by four of them?
Yeah.
238, and there was only four of you?
Yeah.
Divide that by four.
I don't know.
That's 59 and a half.
Yeah. It's about that.
Maths is not my strong point.
No,
really?
No.
Geography's not my strong point.
And you need to talk as well. Because when you were doing the radio yesterday, I'm listening to you. Okay, you're talking a load of rubbish. Okay, you're saying Arsenal and Everton. I fancy Arsenal. I think Arsenal will win it by a couple of goals and all that. What's wrong with your local team?
When you give predictions, you always run the risk of getting it wrong, don't you? Yeah. That's why Ronnie gets paid the big bucks. He can survive getting predictions wrong, you know what I mean?
I didn't say Arsenal at the start.
You did. You were.
Well, then you didn't see the Liverpool game. We were just talking about it was like a similar performance to the Fulham performance. They dug in. It was. Sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
There's rumours today, Jan. I've seen a couple of tweets today that West Ham, Liverpool had to park the bus a good distance away from the ground. The heat under floor heating was put on in the dressing room, or the heating was turned up in the dressing room. I think Big Sam's been up to his old tricks again. I mean, we have to clarify whether these have been true, but do you see them as a bit, maybe there's the crazy gang a bit again because of the players they've got and the safe and seeing out the season. Have you come across any of that in your career?
What, the opposition doing everything they possibly can
to upset you?
I mean, a lot was made of the 88 Cup final, wasn't it, Ronnie? And I don't recognise any of them stories.
I don't, Wimbledon. Completely.
You know, people said that the outsiders in it.
I mean, tunnel and all that. No,
didn't. That was one of the subs on the day, the reason that we lost. But
I don't remember any of that. You know,
Vinnie Jones or where, you know, and Vinnie Jones tackling McMahon or nothing. We lost the game because when Peter Beattie scored a good goal in the first half, if that goal would have stood, they would have actually come out and we'd have probably beaten 3 or 4 nil, but enough about it.
I think sometimes it actually makes you stronger, you know, if things go against you. It's sometimes the character comes out in the team, and I think sometimes, you know, Liverpool will have set themselves, okay, this has happened, that's gone against us, but the point is, when we're out there, you know, you're focusing on.
To be fair though, West Ham, a bit like Manchester City's game against Southampton, it was games that need to get out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, because the focus is, it's like a magnet, isn't it? Sunday the 13th is like a magnet, isn't it? So both teams have now got them games out of the way. They both won, sets it up perfectly for them.
Well, West Ham are on a pretty decent run as well. They've had a good run.
Yeah.
They're going to clear the relegation.
Well, because
you
of
know? And you thought of 1-1, what's the sort of character? And you mentioned Lucas came on and we saw that. And it changed the whole point of the game. Like, you know, everybody, look at Flanagan getting forward for the penalty.
Yeah, like you.
Well, yeah, I would have put it in. Oh, you know that, I would have put it in. Yeah. But the point was, he was in a position to get there. And again, I still keep around Stephen Gerrard. We talked about this last night with David Speedy and John Walk and one or two others. But, like, it all revolves around, around...
But it normally does, doesn't it? But, I don't mean Stephen Gerrard, but good teams is in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the ability to control games, isn't it? That's where the good teams are strong, isn't it?
You mentioned the second half yesterday.
No, but
I'm watching it from afar in there. But I'm thinking, it seems easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You look at Barcelona and Bayern Munich, their midfields, and then you look at Real Madrid, they had one midfielder in Alonso. Well, that's just where it happens, isn't it?
Well, I think the game was, I don't know if you did see the instance, Al, overshadowed by the referees' decision making. The first one, Andy Carroll.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we've seen it over and over again. I think it'd be fair, 99% of the population think it was a foul. The referee's obviously gone to the linesman, but what was quite ironic was the fact it was on the big screen behind him. Now, that's the incident flashed up right behind him as he was talking to the linesman.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is going to put FIFA under a bit more pressure now to bring in video technology.
A long time ago, they were not allowed.
I don't think they are.
That was a mistake.
I don't think they're allowed to show controversial decisions.
You're right.
But they thought it was a goal.
So they played.
Showing the goal?
Yes.
But obviously,
at that time, because the referee had given a goal. Yeah. So I don't think they were meant to do that.
What's your take? Firstly, what's your take on the referee and the linesman? Did the linesman bottle it? Did the referee overrule him? What was your take on it?
I find it amazing. What would the assistant referee have told the referee?
Yes.
Once he'd flagged, he must have seen what happened. So what would he have told? And I could see, I think I saw the referee going, he dropped it. He dropped it.
Yeah, he did.
He did drop it, but there was a reason that he dropped it.
Yeah.
Would we be disappointed with the goalkeeper still not holding on to it?
I thought he cut his arm as well after he cut his face.
Yeah, I did.
I thought he cut his arm and gone like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was he should have punched it. I know he's come for it and he's the tallest of the group of who were challenging, but I thought he should have punched it. He's in a position there just to flick it away or punch it away, and rather than catch it, he's under pressure from everywhere. If he falls down, somebody knocks it out of the ball out of his hand to put it in. I just thought he could have punched it rather.
But we all know the goalkeepers get protected so well now.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, I can catch this. Nobody's hitting me.
Do you also
from afar to slap in the face?
Because you know that. Yeah. As a goalkeeper, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
I've got loads of time to catch.
Yeah. Yeah, but also you know, and if anyone gets anywhere near me, the referee will blow up.
Yeah.
So
well, that's why.
Maybe it gives you a false sense of security sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the referee's obviously been the linesman's flag. Yeah. The referee's attention goes over.
Yeah.
Now we're talking maybe, I don't know what, 90 seconds or that altogether, maybe 2 minutes tops, not even 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Is video technology, should it be brought in? Because that, I mean, they're all worried that it's going to stop play too much, it's going to be like interfere too much. I mean, there we've seen it, it flashed up, the video technology was there, although it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Do you think it should come into football for things like this?
Okay, then you're going to have to do the penalty, Flanagan penalty. Is there any other controversial decisions in the game? You're going to have to do that. If you take 6 or 7 controversial decisions, you're going to add lots of time on. For me, I don't want to go down that road. I want to go the line that they've got, the goal line technology, for me, is enough. And referees make mistakes on things like that. But they were all arguing last night somewhere about these decisions.
You do it in rugby, Ron.
I know they do, but the people arguing about these decisions, do they... go for you as much as against you, and I think they do over a season. Some were saying
but
last
Sam,
night, no, they don't. Big Sam will say,
well,
the
Sam,
same.
Well, Sam's
Sammy wasn't
the week about a decision he never got.
Yeah, he said,
yeah, he got one.
He came out and he said they don't go for you, you know, and that's why managers get sacked. And
so
that's
he
what,
got one yesterday, but they still won't go for him that
much.
change something somewhere. But I wouldn't go down the whole.
Goal line technology, I think, is a massive step, isn't it? We've got that.
And, what about that millimeter? That I couldn't
believe both of them Fulham, wasn't it?
I couldn't believe
I was at
that.
The game the other week against Newcastle when Heitinger hit that shot, and you know, inside the ground, you go,
goal.
That was a mile in that.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, you actually thought it was like...
Yeah, I shouted. I go, that's a mile in that. And then you realise, oh, well, they'd be able to prove it in a second because they got goal line technology and there it was, bang, you know.
Right.
But so it's proven that that is at least working, isn't it? So let's be happy we got that. And I know it was Liverpool yesterday, isn't it? But, you know, we can't make rules just because when we feel hard done by, you know.
Obviously, we'll take it. Was it a penalty?
I think the keeper got enough of the ball for it not to be a penalty.
No, man. We've got all...
He's actually pushed it, you know, he's got the hand on the ball and he's pushed it against Flanagan, who's come in. But then, you know, Flanagan's fallen over and you know, I don't know.
There was some suggestion last night as well, I think it was Match of the Day, that he dived.
No, he's momentum.
But Ronnie, surely you can go to ground or fall to ground without diving, can't you?
He has not.
You
lose your balance or somebody's
just off your stride. And I'm fed up with this. Everything is either a free kick or a penalty or a different for diving. That can't be right, can it?
And we will look at the Dzeko incident, you know, with Southampton. You know, the lad's left his leg there, but you know, he's made minimal contact, hasn't he? You know, was that a penalty? I think
but it's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's all the referee saw at Manchester City, wasn't it? The leg up.
That's
he
right.
Assumes there's massive contact. Yeah. Yes, there wasn't, but there was contact. And today, it's accepted in football. It's contact.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the man who walked in there, he was very good when there was contact in the box.
Yes,
as long as he was touched to go down.
Well, the man was it, Ronnie?
Mr. Dalglish.
We didn't want him on the podcast because nobody was on the
side. Well, it just brought us miles because my nan said to me the other week, my nan's 92, she said, have you bumped into Kenny Danish recently? Kenny Dalglish, Kenny Danish.
It's the same with this Danism.
The same with the McAteer family.
Yeah, exactly. That well-travelled family.
Well, talking about penalties, obviously there was two more yesterday. I mean, you've all taken penalties in big situation. You have, Ron. Have you ever taken a penalty where, like Al's sort of European Cup?
In the derby match, but it was.
Was it to win it?
It was in the A team. I was in the B team. Oh, and I scored a hat trick and missed a penalty.
On the B pitch of the hat.
Oh, on the B pitch. Yeah.
Are you playing up or downhill? Al, how much pressure, Al? Because these penalties that Steven Gerrard is getting at the minute, he's getting his fair few, but there must be some pressure on these penalties. Looking at the bigger picture. Is what I'm trying to say.
The bigger picture is like these penalty takers can put them in any corner. You look at Ricky Lambert over the last year. He's got a great record, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You
know,
the big man there.
Of course.
They're confident.
What they go through. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but how much, what I'm trying to ask, well, the question I'm asking is, how much, looking at what Liverpool, what we're trying to think, talk about here is this title. And we're like six games to go yesterday.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard is now having to step up and take two penalties. How much pressure is on him? What's going through
his mind?
You
could see that. Not so much on the first one, because, you know, it was early in the game. And
like the Fulham one?
But Jason, even the second penalty, you could see the pressure when he went to all the fans and he was like, thank God for that. It went in, it means we're in the lead now, we've hold on, we'll win the point. That's what it was all about.
Well, Jason, how did you feel? I know you haven't played in many big games, but how did you feel? How did you feel before a big game? Be honest. Did you feel nervous? Did you?
Of course, yeah.
Did you, Ronnie?
Immense.
Did you really?
Yeah. Immense nervous pressure.
That amazes me, that.
Always.
Because you always have this feeling that footballers going into a game don't really feel the nerves. You have some tension and some excitement, but not real nerves.
I think going without nerves was Steve Nicol.
But I always think that Maca
never got
nervous. But I always think that's why he shouted and screamed all the time.
No, he's not about McManaman. No, I'm not about McManaman.
No, he never gets.
But pressure. I think what makes you nervous is things that happens in the game sometimes. But before the game, I think you're more looking forward to it. And I think Gerrard, I don't think he makes him nervous. I think he understands the importance of the penalty.
I don't think
it makes him nervous.
No.
Two great penalties, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but any penalty that goes in is a great penalty. It's an end of story, isn't it? As long as you score.
Can not be a great save?
Could be.
Yeah, but any penalty that goes in is a great penalty. Any penalty you miss is not a great penalty, is it? Oh, look at that great penalty you just missed.
He struck it well in his crossbar.
Okay, well, he's obviously the...
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Changed a little bit, I think, because Daniel Lager, Jan injured.
Toe injury in training, nothing serious.
Okay, well, it changed. Sacco come in, Skirtle, Sacco, another change in personnel at the back. They done well.
Yeah, he did very well. He's a big, he's a handful, isn't he? You know, both at defender and set pieces as well. Like, you know, so
who?
Sacco. He's a good player.
What happened to the days when you played with broken toes? And
yeah,
they
that's
strap
right.
them together for you, and you just have to get an injection and get out there and play.
See, I've done that loads of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose they have.
Bruised toe.
To metatarsal.
I did the first season of training, and here lost my toe.
Yeah.
You can every game. Injection, and then one at half time, and then in the end it didn't work. It's awesome. What's going on here? So I checked the nail and everything off it, you know.
But Phil Neal did that.
But you never dreamt of not. Yeah. I can't play.
I've got a sore toe. No, you didn't even tell anybody.
Could you imagine? Sackable offence.
He used to put a little splint in between the two of them and strap them both together.
I've got a sore toe, yeah, but it's not bad, is it? Oh no, it's fine.
and then they used to say, right, just wear a little bit bigger boot.
Wear Steve Nicholls boots,
yeah. So that was the key to it. That's why Phil Neal, you know, went 400 and odd games.
440 games on the trot.
And something like that.
And then missed three and then went another 120 or something.
417 games.
Yeah. Right? It's a fantastic record.
How did he never ever get suspended either with that arm across the winger, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he wasn't exactly a player who pulled out tackles, did he?
No.
And scored his fair share of goals, didn't he? At the back post, coming in.
Yeah.
Come on in, Jason, let's get there. We digressed there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm not sure if I've read this right. Is that one of the first games without a goal from Sturridge or Suarez?
I think it's
the first game of the season one of them hasn't scored.
I mean,
but good performances even now they didn't score.
Yeah,
well, Suarez scored
magic,
didn't
he?
It never became the type of game we liked, did it?
No.
We never really got him on the run.
No,
we like to get teams on the run, don't we? You know, and obviously credit to West Ham, they did what they had to do.
Waiting on a battle away, weren't they?
Yeah, but they did what they had to do, Ronnie. And if you'd have been a manager at West Ham, you'd have done the same. Get people back in position. Don't allow Liverpool to run at you. And
you said at the start, why did we think going to West Ham was going to be easy?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
No chance.
Yeah.
Well, that leads us lovely on to next week. City.
Huge.
How do you think it's going to pan out? Because I see Pellegrini not changing his tactics, his system. Liverpool at home, I don't think Brendan's going
to
accommodate Man City. Do you see it being a very open game, a very attack minded game, or do you see it being one of these where they could cancel each other's out?
Both teams want to attack, don't they?
Yeah.
I think Liverpool are quicker on the break than Man City.
Yeah.
Man City have better players than Arsenal, Everton, Man United. And it's so hard to call Man City. You sometimes come up against oppositions and they're the big boys, and sometimes they all play well together. If they all play well together, you struggle against them. That would be my only worry, that City come out flying with all the big men playing well, and then we will really struggle to beat them.
I often find with Manchester City, they're always, for me, overconfident. That they can beat the team anytime. You know, they'll do it any turn it on anytime.
Is that what you need to be the best, or
well?
Barcelona mentality?
Sort of. Like, you know, but I would say, you know, Liverpool certainly.
Fine line between cockiness and
arrogance.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely. And they're
self-belief, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, some people.
I mean, you talked when we said that, were you nervous before a game? Yes, I was nervous, but I always
you still believe.
Yeah.
So it's not arrogance; it's self belief that you know you can do it.
Yeah, but they'll probably have Aguero. Will he be back?
Well, I was going to ask my next question to Jan. You said you done the Man City game.
I was there on Saturday.
Aguero rested.
Yeah,
was he?
Yeah. He'll be fit for Sunday. Will they play him? I don't know. Yeah. Can we expect him to come in after having been out two spells? Can we expect him to come in and have an impact?
I don't know. I've already played.
I would rather play. Yeah, absolutely.
You would. You take Aguero player.
Yeah, because of the injuries.
Yeah.
I mean,
listen.
If it comes off the bench flying, then he's
a super player. Yeah. But surely he can't be. But I think going Manchester City, let's deal with them first. Them coming to Anfield and not changing the way they want to play could be a mistake. What Liverpool do, and they did it against Spurs, Arsenal and Everton, they caught the opposition playing their way in their own half, didn't they?
Yeah.
And City want to do the same.
Yeah, that's right.
Want to play in their own half. We catch them, they're in big trouble. If they can get the play moved from their own half into our half very, very quick, then we're in trouble. Yeah. If they get through that first bit of pressure we put on, then we're in big trouble because they've got excellent players. I mean, Silva on Saturday, you know.
Positions.
But Ronnie, he's
dangerous, isn't
he? You know, he moves like water, doesn't he? I mean, he is just exceptional, isn't it? But I have to say that the other players, Yaya Toure, Nasri, Dzeko, and Navas, don't put enough work in without the ball, and could be that could possibly be their downfall.
What about the back, Alec? I've watched them quite a few times this season, and I think Di Michaelis is a light, little bit of a liability for him. I think Pellegrini likes to play a high line, and as we've seen against Barcelona, it was a whole company sent off.
Yeah. I think Di Michaelis is playing well.
I think he's playing the best he's played.
Four to six weeks he's playing well.
Yeah.
He's a weakling. But there's also players in our team, as you can go, possibly, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not as if we're bulletproof, is it? Neither are they.
Yeah.
But Di Michaelis, to be fair, as much as everybody's pointed the finger at him, I think he's playing well at the moment.
Yes, I do. Kolarov looks comfortable down the left. Do you think the pace of Liverpool on next week?
Do you think the pace of Liverpool, Henderson going beyond, this could cause...
You don't want to sprint 60 yards with Yaya Toure, do you?
No.
But 5 yards, you know, that explosion that we have.
Yeah.
I think that'll hurt them.
Coutinho is the man for me.
Okay.
I think he's a bit like David Silva. You know, he's great on the ball. He moves well. He's closing players down. He's not giving them any chance. Henderson's doing his work in that midfield, and Steven Gerrard hopefully is pulling the string. So it looks a good balance. It looks a great balance.
Do you think he'll put Coutinho in?
I would.
I'll ask the questions.
I would.
Do you think he'll put Coutinho in?
I would. I think he's a very, very intelligent player. I think he sees the pass, and no disrespect to Sterling, who might be better on the bench and coming off and doing what he can do. But you know, the team more or less picks itself, doesn't it? You know, it's Liverpool's strongest team, apart from maybe Sterling coming in for Coutinho. But I like Coutinho. I think he's worked hard, he's done his bit, and he's listened and learned and closed the play down. So.
How big is it going to be a help with the fans? Because they've been unbelievable against Tottenham. But they've been unbelievable all season, I think, in Anfield.
I think the fans have took on the role the last few weeks, haven't they?
Yeah.
I've been to games this season at Anfield where it's been pretty low key, hasn't it? But I think the last few weeks they've understood that they have a part to play.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is very unusual in modern day Premier League football, that stadium will be full 20 minutes before kickoff.
That is unusual.
That never happens.
Yeah.
This will be Champions League semi-final 2005 against Chelsea all over, where you can actually feel the stands moving. I think it'll be that kind of an atmosphere, and it'll be a combination of supporting the team and also making sure worldwide TV audience, you know, letting people know their feelings about Hiddlesbrough.
Well, things have gradually been coming out about psychology of football and creeping into the game, and I think it's been highlighted this week. Dr. Steve Peters has been working here, who's wrote the book The Chimp Paradox. Have you read it? You should read that book, it's brilliant. Chimp Paradox.
Chimp on your shoulder and all that.
Yeah.
A good chimp.
You should read
chimp.
That out.
I should read it, yeah.
And you've read it. It's really helped you.
Yeah. I'm eating loads more bananas and all
you're getting
that.
On the right flight.
How much do you think that's played this season in psychology with him coming in?
Of course it is.
Suarez as well, obviously happened to.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard has come out and said he's the top psychologist, he's the best guy he's ever met. He's enhanced his game. You know, it might have been slightly difficult for Steven to adjust his game to a slightly more defensive role, But like with the help of the right people, you know, he's done really well. I think that Steve Peters is now with England, isn't he? He's helping.
Yeah.
Roy Hodgson.
Now, if he can do anything there,
yes, he might need some help. They might need some help there. But at the beginning of the season, did I wouldn't have said Liverpool would be in the top where they are now.
I said it.
I've been doing that for the last
24 years.
Okay, but
I've got to get one right.
But the point is, with everybody's helping in the right way, you know, everybody's, you know, I mean, look at the injury list. It hasn't been as bad as what it could have been. You know, we're now having a settled team. We're now having a team that is focused, and we've changed it all around from the start of the season. It really has been, and he'll have played his part in you know, being what he, you know.
What was the closest thing to psychology?
How do you view that, Ronnie?
It's not for me.
No, I'm totally with you. I couldn't imagine some guy sitting there staring in my eyes and, you know, trying to draw.
Look into my eye.
No, but it kind of would be. It would be kind of intense in a way, wouldn't it? You know, you sit there and you've got to talk about certain things and you've got to get some positive beliefs into your head. I couldn't.
I'm only thinking of a psychologist going in to see Kenny. A psychologist would be a treatment house
for Kenny, but yeah. I don't know. I just can't.
Yeah.
Some people. Like it, right? Yeah, Parler didn't like it, did he?
No, but I think much more Brendan Rodgers. I'm not taking nothing away from Dr. Peters, yeah. You know. But I think much more Brendan Rodgers. Yeah. And you talk about Steven Gerrard. I think the role that Brendan Rodgers sold to Steven Gerrard is much more important than anything Dr. Peters can do for him, you know.
But he's also done it with Suarez when he wants to play him.
Yeah.
And that would be more a manager's job.
But to be yeah,
psychologist.
But to be fair, I would think that Suarez maybe would have some size of his game where he could improve. You know, the anger and that he...
Yeah,
you know.
No, you go along with that, don't you? You don't bite someone for
something exactly, yeah.
going on.
There's something
so
you can
to
work
have a
on,
chat
isn't
with
it,
someone.
You know? Yeah.
But is, you know, like, he's the psychologist. Do you not think you had the psychologist in your dressing room when you were there, the likes of the Ronnie Morans? And were they not the psychologist of their time telling you how good you were, what to do?
I didn't tell you you were good.
No,
you
never
think you're a good player, don't you? You're not that good, you
exactly,
know?
Was that not good psychology?
No, yeah.
You went out and proved him wrong.
To be fair, so a lot of the things they said, Ronnie, didn't never made any sense till 10 years later, did it?
Yeah, that's right.
So were they ahead of the time?
No, but you know when you're a young player and you know it all anyway, don't you? And you're winning titles and whatever, and you think you know it all, don't you? And they're trying to keep your feet on the ground and you go, what is he on about? How have nobody said that about Ronnie Moran?
Yeah.
What does he waffle
about? I don't think anyone could save you up.
No. Ronnie could. Ronnie Moran could. He was there yesterday shouting again. I kept hearing him, honestly. And
did you have flashbacks?
Yeah, no, but he was there yesterday.
Oh, did you have get forward or keep your position? Or
keep your position.
Keep your position, okay. Yeah. That's never been your strength.
No. You
go high, come low and go high.
Yeah.
The best one was in Indonesia, wasn't it? Were you on the bench? Was in Indonesia when we watched that, left back, with his hand in the air, and he ended up outside right.
Hello. It's 120 degrees. Let's just keep it nice and easy for the first 5 minutes,
That's Alan. I remember it, yeah. There was centre forwards, well, it was Aldo or somewhere like Russia or whatever, said, what are you doing here? I said, I don't know, just ended up here.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up playing on the right.
Forrest Gump. Kept going, was.
Look where he was.
Who needed a psychologist?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How good would it be if Everton made Champions League football this season? I mean, they were fantastic yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant for Merseyside. You go back to the mid-80s when we were battling against Everton to win leagues and FA Cups, and it was a great atmosphere on Merseyside. I think it'd be brilliant for the whole place, and I think Everton deserve Champions League position the way they've played this year.
Both clubs are very similar in that there's so much excitement, isn't it, within the clubs, because things are... on
managers,
an upward curve, curve, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you go to City or Chelsea, and they expect to be there, don't they?
Yeah.
But Liverpool and Everton are really excited about where they are, and I don't think either of them have reached their potential.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget we talk about we won 9, they won 6.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a demolition.
That looked good, by the way.
Demolition job of Arsenal that they did last Sunday. You know.
So. That leads me on to is, you think it's time for a fresh up at Arsenal, Arsene Wenger? Has he just come to the end of his? Do you feel that? Do you think it's gone a little bit stale, maybe? Or is
I just don't think the players are playing. But then again, we say this many a time about Wenger. Then they go up next week and play really well, win the last 6 games, and be in Champions League again. I don't know why Wenger keeps getting stick. I give him a bit of stick yesterday because of the way the players played, they didn't respond.
Yeah, but how many times have you seen that this season? Like you said, I think last season, the season before, and the season before that, I think you get one or two games like that, but they always got a response. I think this season we've seen it far too many times from a Wenger.
Jason, I've loved the way they played their football. They've always tried to play football in the right way, and I like that. That's something that they've adopted over the years that he's been there. I love the way I wouldn't like to see him go out the game. I certainly wouldn't. I think he needs some other players. He needs strengthening in certain areas, but I love the way they play their football.
If I was going to be managing the Premier League, yeah, I'd take the Arsenal job, because I think they're the easiest team.
I said that the other week.
They're the easiest team to improve.
I think good this year. I said that.
Yeah,
I said that the other week.
They're easy to improve, and
club set up brilliant as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you look at Wenger, let's deal. I mean, if he has to stay in charge of Arsenal, he has to change.
Yeah.
He has to realise that the demands of the Premier League are so varied, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I guess most teams in La Liga or in Spain, in France, if they play in a similar way, don't they? You don't have that all of a sudden, the challenge you get at West Ham and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're the challenges he's not ready for. He has this obsession with 5'7" or smaller midfield players who
Barcelona, he's got an obsession with that.
Yeah, but they've got the best.
Exactly.
And when you've got the best, it doesn't matter whether he's 9 foot or 2 foot, as long as he's, you know. And
I think what's going to happen, I mean, nothing's guaranteed in the FA Cup semi-final, is there? No, they've got a difficult tie, haven't they?
Wigan would fancy that.
Yeah, Wigan would fancy it.
My team talk would be that performance.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Wigan. Yeah.
We're talking of managers leaving for both clubs. Unfortunately for us, wrong, because we know really, really well Chris Hughton.
Yes.
I've always thought that he's been hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. Is it a strange time to sack him, Ron?
Five games to go.
Three points. Okay. If you bring in a U team manager, that's strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. But they all go into it knowing what's going to happen. If they don't get the results, you get sacked.
But to be fair, they've got a chief executive, haven't they? They've got a chief executive. I can't remember his name. He's been desperate to sack him.
Yeah.
He's been desperate. And also, he came out with this statement the other week, wouldn't he? About, you know, staying in the Premier League compared to losing your life, you know. It was like, what are you talking about?
Mm. Yeah.
I think they can't take the eyes of the fact that they'll lose the last five games.
Yeah.
They go to Fulham. They think they'll lose at Fulham,
yeah,
and then they got four games that on paper look unwinnable.
Four of the top seven.
Yeah. But the United, City, Liverpool, Arsenal and Liverpool. Arsenal's the last home game. So that's made the decision for them. But then I'm thinking, okay, when I heard the news last night, okay, Malky Mackay said Monday morning is installed, he's the new manager, isn't it? Neil Adams, under 18 coach. I'm not saying he's not, but
if it was you as a player and your manager got sacked and then you realised the under 18 coaches coming?
You would go, are we taking this serious? This is a guaranteed £100 million a year business. Are we taking this serious?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Obviously it depends on what relationship you had with the current manager. And some players are pleased sometimes when managers are sacked.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure you would want. I mean, I know Neil well, you know, but this is a bit of a Spurs thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, certainly out of all these sackings, David Moyes now is one of the longest serving managers in the Premier League. He's like seventh or eighth longest serving manager. I think something that's just broke, as we were talking there, Tim Sherwood, I think Sky News have just broke, Tim Sherwood's going to leave Spurs at the end of the season.
He's put himself in the shop window, hasn't he?
It's been a soap opera.
He'll want to now go and get a job somewhere. He's done his reserves and U team whatever, and he probably feels it's right time.
Was that job a little bit too big for him, in the sense of what?
Again, it's another one coming from a reserve team manager or a U team manager and taking up a big.
But what they demanded, Champions League football, they wanted, wasn't it? And that was the target. Was that too big for him to achieve that?
Too big for the club to achieve it, not just for him.
Yeah, but he's relatively inexperienced going into that job. So is that too much to ask for someone of his capabilities?
Then again, everybody would have said, oh, hang on, after six games, he's done really, really well. These have got a chance of going somewhere. But it's the initial shock of everything. Players, Adebayor starts to play, other players wake up a little bit, new manager. But players go back to what they are best at. And
do you think
sometimes it's not been good enough.
Do you think they're wondering now, Daniel Levy's maybe wondering, what if we'd kept Villas-Boas?
Absolutely. And before him, maybe Redknapp, and you know, he might have said to himself, listen, you know, we need stability, we need to be in the top four. They're not there, and you know, Sherwood for me is not the right, not the right one.
When you finished, when you spent,
no, I don't think he's thinking I should have kept AVB. I don't think he's thinking that. Well, when he spent, but I do think he's thinking, why did I sell Bale?
Yeah, when you Liverpool refused to sell Suarez. When you spend 100 million, do you have to guarantee exciting football, or do you have to bring silverware and winning the title?
Tottenham,
however you
it's
want.
Exciting football for me.
They would like to play exciting football.
Sherwood's
biggest problem was, this is the way I am, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Spurs have now decided to leave it because at the end of the season he's out, yeah? So it didn't work for him, did it?
No.
And if I'd have been Tim Sherwood in that position, I'd have gone, what is my best chance of getting results? So when I come to Anfield, I'd have put 9 men inside that my own penalty box, yeah?
But like,
instead of standing on the halfway line with defenders who can't run,
yeah.
That's the reason he's lost his job.
Yeah, but I think the team was looking at it thinking, for me to keep my job, I'm going to have to get Champions League football, which means I need points, which means I've got to win. So we had to go expansive.
But you can't win. You can't win if the game is lost before you get going.
How'd you work that?
Well, because it was lost against.
Because once Liverpool scored within a minute, the game was over.
Yeah.
So
no, but you've got to give yourself a chance. So if you'd have kept it 0-0 for 20 minutes, you know, some uncertainty creeps into Liverpool's play and he lifts Spurs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, well, predictions, come on. That's this is the big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sunday.
This is leads me on. Predictions?
I'll put you on the spot. I'm sitting on the fence.
Oh, you can't sit on the fence.
I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be a score draw, 2-2 probably.
Al?
2-1 to Liverpool, without a doubt. Honestly, the momentum, everything's with Liverpool. They've got everything going for them. I think City are good enough to score. Liverpool win the game.
How crooked is your nose, by the way?
It's been broken about 4 times, by the way, yeah, by these little elbows and whatever.
Little elbows?
Well, you know.
Oh,
it's the bottom, it's like a right hand.
But the problem was, it was all done by my colleagues.
All right, then. Jan, predictions?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've said Liverpool win the title for the last 20 years because I haven't seen a team capable of it. But now I'm seeing a team who can win it. I think we'll win 3-1.
Do you think there's twists and turns before the end of the season? Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a result here.
It's not going to be like whoever wins the next 5 games.
City go to Everton.
Yeah.
If Liverpool win the next 5 games,
they will win.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that's going to happen, or do you think there's going to be twists and turns?
I could do. They just get better and better. You know, it was a hard game yesterday. Against West Ham, I thought we might not have won the game, but I tell you what, they've won it. And that's what they're doing. Just each game as it comes.
Those 9 on the trot that Liverpool have won, do that include Tottenham, Arsenal, Everton, United?
Yeah.
In a round. No, yeah. When the start of that run come, we would have went, no, we can.
I'll take that
with them 4 involved.
Palace might just be the game that, you know, it might just, you know, it might not go the way that it should go. But that like I said, twists and turns, like, you know.
I am more worried about Chelsea. Because Chelsea will specifically work on praying Liverpool, whereas City won't.
So, did I get a prediction of you?
Yeah, 3-1.
Liverpool. I'm going to go with you, Al. 2-1 Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, what's that? 3-1 draw. Cheers for that, man.
Good price, 2-2.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up there. I just want to say at the end of it, thanks very much for all the help, because we've just reached 1 million downloads for this podcast, which is absolutely fantastic. So, it couldn't be done without all your
lovely
input and everything, so hopefully that carries on.
Thanks to all the people who downloaded it.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks to everyone who's downloaded it.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Get yourself to the Hillsborough game, because it's going to be fantastic. And plus, if you want to play against the legends, like I said, go on 5times.co for all the information. And if you have got some spare pocket money, get yourself at Anfield, because it is a great day. You get a tour around the ground as well. You're in the away dressing room, you play on the pitch, and like you say, play against all the legends. So get yourself there. That's May the 16th. So thanks very much.
Hello, Jace.
Cheers.
5 times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, how's pre-season Olympiakos, mate?
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I still play.
Just as quickly skip
what
over.
What do you think anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given your opinion, what do you think?
I don't know, I have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you can still have an opinion.
You can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
No, I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. It's just your taxi.
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast.
Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end of season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Didi Haman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy goals you've got there.
I'll set them up. Bang.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.